We are going to continue with our media availabilities from today's Ticket Guardian 500 here at ISM Raceway. We are joined by members of our race-winning team, which is the number 4, Jimmy Johns Ford for Stewart Haas Racing. We are joined by our crew chief, Rodney Childers, and team owner, Tony Stewart. Tony, why don't we go to you first, not only to win 3 in a row here with Kevin, but also all 4 Stewart Haas teams in the top 10 today. So pretty good day for the team.
Yeah, it was an awesome day for us. That's probably what I'm most proud of, is the fact that it's the first time in our organization's history that we had all 4 cars in the top 10. So just proud of everybody at Stewart Haas Racing. There's so many people that don't get a chance to come to the track this, you know, on each weekend because they're working hard at the shop. And, you know, I think this weekend really is a big thank you to those guys for everything they've done. They've just done an amazing job, and, you know, can't say enough about these two guys sitting next to me. I mean, they when they get on a tear like this, you just kind of stand back and watch and enjoy the ride. It's fun to watch these guys when they get clicking like this.
And Rodney, why don't you take us through especially that final stage from your seat atop the pit box? That had to have been pretty exciting.
Yeah. You know, I felt like we had a pretty good car there, and we were still struggling, you know, up off the corner. And we took another stab at it there at the end, and it seemed to be a little bit better. But you just don't know when the right time is to pit. And I kind of wanted to wait a few more laps, and then the 9 peeled off and pitted. So that kind of left us no choice other than to try to pit and stay in front of him at least, and try to gain a lap on the 18. But we had a little trouble on pit road, and you know, ended up behind the 24 when we got strung back out. So, you know, it was fortunate that we had a good enough car to be able to get back to him and at least race with him. And but man, it was a heck of a battle today. To sit down there in the corner and watch these guys race like that, it was like my short track days of battling with some good old guys, you know, back around Tri-County and stuff. So I like racing like that. You know, sometimes you want a dominant car and drive away, but to win one after you've battled all day is pretty awesome.
And then, Kevin, this is your 3rd win in a row this year, 9th here at Phoenix, and like Rodney said, you really had to battle. It was a lot of fun watching you guys out there. Why don't you take us through that final stage and how much fun it was out there?
Yeah, you know, after I guess it was the 2nd stage, maybe, 1st stage, I don't remember which one, when you've got Kyle Busch sticking his finger out the window with his thumb up, you know, talking about the having fun and sending messages on the radio, you know that everybody's having fun. And you know, I could tell that myself and Kyle and Denny and the 9, it seemed like those were going to be the guys that it came down to. And just the racetrack opened up and got a couple grooves. And I just told Tony, I never could get to a point where I felt like I could slide up like I did in front of the 9 and in front of the 11, and then it wound up costing me a bunch of time, and Kyle wound up getting by us. So just really proud of everybody. After everything this week, everybody just came here just mad, chip on their shoulder, wanting to do exactly what we did today, and that's the type of determination and grit that you want in a race team. And it's there's nothing better to, you know, to be a part of than something like that, because actions speak a whole lot louder than all the words that I can say this week and tweets that you can send out. The parking that thing in Victory Lane is the most powerful thing, most powerful message that you can send, and says the most about our organization and our team. And, you know, to have all 4 cars in the top 10 is something that I've never been a part of at Stewart Haas Racing. I don't know if has that ever happened. Yeah. So, you know, it was kind of a weird weekend. As I was mad, yeah, no, well, yeah, I was mad.
I was like, what's weird about that?
I was mad all week. And, but, you know, myself and Clint and Eric were able to, you know, spend time together. Clint and I didn't have our motorhomes out here, and Eric spent a lot of time in the trailer working on his race car, and he spent a lot of time with him this week just really trying to make sure they ran good. And, you know, he texted me last night, and he's like, man, I think we've got a solid top 10 car. I said, dude, you've got a top 5 car. You need to go out and run in the top 5. And so to see him up there, and I saw Clint up there and Kurt winning the stage, that's really the most important thing, because that progression as a race team, when everybody ups the ante on the performance of each car, you learn things from each car and each person, and the confidence and everybody goes up, the confidence in the company goes up, and you just – the evolution of things starts happening more rapidly. And now that the 10 car is in that evolution, you know, it is good for our company. So just really proud of everybody.
All right, we're going to open up to questions for our race-winning team. We're going to start up here with Lee, go to Jeff, and then we'll go up to the press box.
Maybe it harkens back from your wrestling days, but isn't it fair to say that a mad Kevin Harvick is a dangerous Kevin Harvick?
I told Josh yesterday, and I probably shouldn't tell Rodney this, but Gil Martin he was my crew chief for most of the years at RCR, and he used to try to make me mad during the race and say things to me, and he would just try to tick me off because he'd always say, he's like, man, when you're mad, there's just something different. But, yeah, you know, I tell you guys this all the time. I mean, I'm 42 and done this for a long time, and anytime you can reach out and grab motivation, for me, that's just a piece of the puzzle that I like to be a part of and feel that controversy and that enthusiasm and you know, succeeding in these types of moments with all that controversy swirling around you. There's nothing better because, like I say, there's nothing louder than the actions of parking that car in victory lane.
We'll go to Jeff and then the press box and then Bob.
Jeff Gluck from jeffgluck.com. I was going to ask you something similar to Lee. So does it make you a better driver, or do you just enjoy it more when you have success in those circumstances?
I don't know. What do you think? I don't know if it – you know, it's just – you know, I feel like you know, today felt like this weekend felt like a playoff moment for us, you know, because our team is you know, when you get into those playoff moments and you have those all the guys and everybody looking at the race car and that determination of every last detail, and you know, there's a lot going on in life and in general, and it's hard to do that every week, but you know, our team is very good at setting those things aside for 10 weeks during the playoffs, and this just felt like it felt more important to win this week than it did to win a race at Homestead for a championship. It felt like that, and everybody felt it. You didn't have to really say anything, and you know, those are the moments that you just love to live and live in and be a part of and succeed in, because those are, you can't even explain them unless you're a part of them, because they're just so rewarding.
We'll go up to the press box.
One question to the crew chief, Mr. Rodney Schilders, Wolfgang Munze, Rennsport Press Agency from Germany. First of all, congratulations. Mr. Rodney, the question is, from the press box, I had the impression, maybe I'm wrong, just watching Kevin racing in stage two and then the final stage, that the car was much quicker in the final stage than compared to stage two. Did you do any changes to the car? And if so, can you give some details what kind of changes you had done?
Yeah, I mean, most of the race, we were just lacking rear grip on entry and exit, and we fought that, you know, every stop of the race. We just kept trying to make that part better, and you know, really the more we made it better, the faster he was. So, you know, it was a little bit of a few things. It was some wedge. It was some air pressure. It was quite a few things. So, but like Kevin said, this was this definitely felt like a playoff race. It felt like I was at Homestead. Everybody just worked their guts out the whole weekend, and it's really cool to, like you said, to park it in victory lane.
We'll go to Bob on the far left, and then Matt.
Bob Pocker, ESPN. I have two. First for Tony. Do you guys know if you're going to appeal yet, the penalty?
No, we're not going to appeal it.
Why not?
How many appeals have you seen been overturned?
Not many.
There you go.
Okay, and Kevin, what in particular made you mad? Was it just the decision? Was it the social media buzz? Was it the fact that, you know, the garage is sending all, you know, of us and everybody, you know, photos of stuff?
I think I addressed all that on Friday. I don't. There's so many good things that have happened right now. I think you can go back and listen to all those things. I was very open with you guys and answered all your questions and did everything that you guys wanted me to do on Friday and was very honest about it. So, you know, those are my feelings. Today I'm happy. I'm proud. To be a part of an organization and a team that is able to succeed and put all that stuff behind them. And, you know, there's not many things that you can do to showcase character. And when you showcase character and grit as a team, as a unit, that's more powerful than any of us being good at what we do. Because when you have that unity as a group, and it's so powerful. And so it makes success not easier to achieve. It makes it easier to achieve. Yeah, it makes it easier to achieve just because of the fact that everybody is so on the same page and so determined to make something happen.
Did you have to think about jumping up on the back of the car like you said you were
Well, I didn't jump on the car, but I made it very clear to pat my window and thank it for doing its job this week.
All right, we're going to come up front here to Chris, actually, and then we'll go to Mike and Jessica.
Yeah, Chris Knight, catchfence.com. Congratulations. Now that you got some redemption this week, can you talk about a little bit about going to Kern County and getting back in a cane car and not having to worry about anything except going out there and having fun and winning?
Yeah, you know, I think as you guys have heard me talk, I mean, that's really been the thing I've been looking forward to the most in this West Coast swing. Just going home, I haven't raced there, and I think the last time I raced there was 2009, when they closed Mace Marin. So to go out there, I've never raced at the Kern County Racetrack, and myself and Bill McAnally and, you know, some of the folks at NASCAR have worked hard to get the cane in schedule where it is. I feel like it's important for our sport to be a part of keeping those regional series healthy. So to have the season opener out there, have some buzz around it, and this will only help that buzz because we need those series to be healthy. Because in my opinion, you know, all those hardcore NASCAR fans that we talk about losing, a lot of that starts at the grassroots level. And, you know, the reason that we lose a lot of those fans is because a lot of those racetracks disappear. So my goal is, you know, I'd love to go out there and have a chance to win the race. But my goal is to draw enough attention to get kids' dads and competitors excited about racing in the K&N Series. We've got some good racetracks on the schedule. You know, so, you know, it's important to keep that type of racing healthy for our sport, because I believe that the grassroots hardcore fans live at those racetracks, and those are the hardcore fans that you know, we talk about losing, and in order to do that, in order to keep them enthused, we have to build it from the bottom up, from the late models and K&N to get them to come out and you know, the guys and gals that go watch the races in Tucson, we need them to come out here and watch the races here in Phoenix, and the folks who are going to be in Bakersfield, we need them to go to California, but we need to re-energize that short track system in order to get it to the point where it needs to be.
We'll go to Mike and then Jessica.
Will the emotions of this weekend kind of drive you into next week, or will next week be kind of sort of normal as you go for four?
Oh, he knows I put a lot of emphasis on California. It's much like Atlanta. You know, racing in your home state and racetrack that I really enjoy racing at. You know, I got so amped up that I wrecked it on lap zero last year. Knocked the grill out of it, knocked the hood off of it, and never even got a chance to race. So, yeah, I'm excited about it.
We'll go to Jessica in the middle.
Jessica Revin with NASCAR.com. Kind of piggybacking off that for Rodney. I know when we talked Friday, you had said that you felt better about Fontana than you did at Phoenix. So how do you evaluate your chances on going for four?
Well, you know, I feel like our intermediate programs have been really strong. We got that going really good at the end of the year last year. And our short track stuff we've honestly struggled with. You know, we've struggled here for a couple years, and we've been trying to get that part better. I felt like, you know, at the end of last year we got better. We were better at Martinsville. We were better here, and obviously better today. So it's hard. It just seems like those two are so much different these days, the short track stuff versus the intermediate stuff. So, you know, I feel good about the California car and everything that goes along with that. And obviously he loves racing there and loves, you know, wore out racetracks and good at taking care of tires and all that stuff. So, I really want to go out there and run good. I felt like in 2015 we had the best car all weekend and got it taken away there at the very end of the race on the last lap. So just really excited about getting out there and going for four.
We'll come up front to Elliot.
I'm Elliot Stern, Santa Maria Times, not too far from Bakersfield. In the 230s, like around 232 to early 240 laps, you and was it Denny and Kyle's were like going crazy, battling for the lead, three men wide, going low, and you just couldn't quite get the lead. First, I'd like to know how much fun was that, because it looked like it. And did that let you know, even though you didn't grab the lead right there, did that let you know you had enough car that you could grab it later?
Well, let me know that I didn't get in enough of a panic to get by Denny, and I needed to be I needed to be a little more aggressive in that situation. I felt like I did that with the nine because we had Kyle back in, you know, behind us, and we just didn't need Kyle back in front of us. And I let the gap close up and was a little bit too patient. I needed to create a gap, and I never had a gap that I felt comfortable sliding up in front of Denny. He did a good job of keeping his car on the outside of me in the first third of the corner, and I was never able to kind of shoot up there and get where I needed to be at the end of the first third towards the center of the corner. So I felt like I did a better job the second time with Chase, and I knew that we needed Kyle behind us because I felt like he was the guy that we were racing at that point, and I felt like at that particular moment we were having a lot of fun, but I took too much time in not making the pass.
Any additional questions for our race winners? Up front with Lee. It's coming behind you, Lee.
My husband upstairs wanted to ask, what was your conversation with Denny about after the race?
I never saw Denny.
Huh. Okay.
Sorry. Anything?
Is there anything other than Kern County?
Do you have any other things on your bucket list, racing-wise, that you want to accomplish?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd love to win at Pocono and Kentucky to mark those two racetracks. Those are the only two racetracks that we haven't won at on the Cup schedule. And really, it's about winning championships and races. I mean, this is winning any race, and you know this, whether it's a sprint car race or a Cup race or late model race. I mean, that's what we sit in these things for. That's what we show up to do, and that's what drives and motivates us to sit in those cars and get excited to do all the work that comes with it. To motivate yourself to show back up. So I'd love to win another championship. I'd love to catch this guy and wins. That'd be fun. That'd be a good conversation in the shop anyway.
We'll go back to Jeff and then back to Chris.
For Tony, is this the best SHR has ever been from top to bottom with all four cars right now?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, I think we saw that even at Daytona this year. I mean, the way all four teams ran at Daytona, and I thought we were going to get rained down at Atlanta, so I went home and was sitting there, and I took a picture of the screen when we had all four cars in the top seven. I took a screenshot of it as a fan and just kept looking at it going, this is really cool. It's never happened for our organization. So, I think every week this year, like Kevin mentioned, I mean, it just shows the strength of having four really good teammates that are given four valid sets of information that they can all feed off of and work off of. And it just seems like this group of these guys, you know, really work well together. And, and I think a lot of it, too, is, you know, having that little extra time, like we mentioned last week, for these guys to be able to massage on everything and take the things that we already had and make it better. But it is nice to it's nice to sit there and look on the board and see all four cars in the top 10 for sure. That's a proud moment.
Chris?
Yeah, Kevin, I'm just curious if you think that you running the Canaan car will encourage other drivers to maybe go up and run in Canaan East car or West car or some type of late model racing. Or
well, you know, I don't even remember who I had this conversation with, but, you know, I think that needs to be a part of our initiative. Not everybody, you know, a guy like Chase Elliott would love to go run late model races at any late model track in the country instead of going to do an appearance. That's what pushes his buttons. A guy like Jimmy Johnson has no real interest in running any extra races, you know, like a guy like Jeff Gordon didn't. If we could find that niche for like I would love to build the K&N West Series back to what it needs to be and that enthusiasm and get to the right racetracks and help those kids, because for me it was an eye-opener last year when I went to Sonoma and saw the impact that running that race had on the competitors in the series. And you know, the fans will sometimes say, well, you're cherry-picking. Well, I can tell you nobody would know who Will Rogers is if it wasn't for us running that race and being a part of that and having him on the radio show and bringing him to the pit box the next day and these guys taking him in. So if we can shed some light on those particular series and really build them back to where they need to be. And I have so many thoughts on this that, you know, that's just for a different conversation. So you know, building everything from the grassroots up. I love the grassroots part of our sport. This guy has been a part of grassroots racing from the sprint cars and midgets. And, you know, I've been mad at Sperber here for a couple years now because, he won't have the K&N cars come race here because it doesn't help his budget. But in the end, you know, without those grassroots fans and those grassroots people coming and being able to race here, whether it fits your budget or not, 10 years from now, you better hope you have your ass some people that'll sit in the stands up here and wanting to watch these races that are at these short tracks, because those are your hardcore fans and those are your grassroots fans. And you know, one of the best things that happened for racing, it's not just about NASCAR, but one of the best things that used to happen for racing was when we had the Copper Classic here. We had midgets, we had sprint cars. It didn't matter how many people sat in the grandstands, but as competitors, those guys, this was their Daytona. This on the West Coast, this was what we thought our Daytona 500 was. This is where everybody wanted to race. And, you know, it's kicking those guys low on the K&N West Series that they don't get to come and race at this particular racetrack because of the fact that you know, there's a little bit of a pissing contest between, you know, a budget and you know, what is right and what is wrong from a sanctioning fee side on trucks and Xfinity. So they cut the K&N guys out. Cutting the grassroots side of things out is not the right way to do things. Those guys they just want to race. And this is a crown jewel race for those guys. So, you know, it's just the thought process for me is broken. And, you know, when I look at our hardcore fans, they're all sitting at those short tracks and they're mad. They're mad because you don't have a Winston who is supporting these short tracks like they used to. Winston used to infuse so much money into all these short tracks around the country, and that's what kept it going, and that's what kept people showing up to these racetracks, because there was point funds. But when we had the Copper Classic, you had TV out here, and everybody could get sponsors, and they'd show up to race, and they'd come from all over the country, and they'd show up out here, and there'd be, I don't even know how many sprint cars and midgets, I mean, but there'd be 70, 80 Southwest Tour cars, and you'd have a truck race, and it'd lead off the year. So, I don't know. You know, there's just... I have a lot of things that I think about. I love the grassroots side of things, though.
Yeah. Bob Baer was probably the best at that. I mean, you guys that follow this every week, I mean, you guys remember Bob Baer used to bring in series that I promise you he lost his butt on, and he paid probably more guys tow money to come race at his racetrack than he ever brought back in revenue, but he realized how important it was to the region and how important it was to the teams and drivers. And like Kevin mentioned, I mean, the Copper Classic, I ran second to Mike Bliss here, and that one race got me a huge opportunity to drive for some really big teams. And, you know, now you don't have things like that. But we can afford to spend $170 million to move the front stretch from there over to there for – I still have no idea what the hell the reason for that is.
$300,000 doesn't seem like that big
so,
deal.
So, yeah, I guess we probably can't afford to run any support races here that cost the track some money.
We'll go to Dominic.
I got it going with the racing experts in ESPN Albuquerque for Rodney. Had someone told you a few weeks ago that your driver would win three races in a row, what would you have said?
I don't know. Like I said last week, you just don't know going into these seasons where you stand as a team, as a company, from an aerodynamic standpoint, from a mechanical grip standpoint, all those things, you have no idea. You don't know what other people have worked on over the winter, but all you do know is that your race team has worked hard and that people at the engine shop have worked hard and all that stuff. But, you know, I felt like, you know, fighting our way through last year, especially on the four team, but fighting our way through last year and all the things of growing and getting better and finally getting things rolling there at the end of the chase, it made our team believe in each other and get behind each other. And, you know, you learn from every moment, but I wouldn't have known that or said that, but we go to try to win every week, and you know, if we have a car capable of winning, then he's going to park it in victory lane every time. So you know, like I said earlier, it's just about putting good cars out there and letting him do his thing.
All right, gentlemen, congratulations on the win today. Good luck next
week. Thank you.